Hey, welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. We've got an exciting show for you today. We have a special guest in the studio. We'll introduce him in just a minute. We're going to, the topic of today is this: three men who changed the world. Three men that changed the world. You may not know it, but they had an influence in your life way back in the 1700s. We're going to discuss that today. We're going to tell you who those three men were and what was special about them and how God used them to make America the country that we became. I realize we're a little struggling on that in these days. America is not what it used to be. But, boy, wait till you hear the program. All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show today, and I'm Brother Goodwin. This is our guest today. This is Brother Bill Delperdange.
Delperdange.
Yes. I have a hard time with your name.
And, well, it's a mouthful.
Well, we've known each other for several years now.
Yes.
And you've written about, I think, eight books.
Like eight that. Books, yes.
And we'll put some information up for folks. We're gonna help market, especially this one. But you've written some others. You got a book about How Can I Understand It? A book
yes.
on Bible study. And I have that. I've read that book and liked it very much. And you got pictures in here. There's color pictures in the book that we're going to
yes.
be discussing today. Three men that changed the world. But before we do that, let's talk about you.
Okay.
Who are you? My audience,
I don't know.
My audience doesn't know you. And so tell them a little bit about you, what you do in the ministry. And
very good. Well, my name is Bill Delperdange, and I'm at Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's under the leadership of Pastor David Jordan there in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I'm the director of our Bible Institute, Lighthouse Bible Institute. And we're about to launch that online, so it'll be available online very soon. But I've been teaching there for a few years now, and we've been doing a lot. I also am involved in our missions outreach. I've been down to the Dominican Republic and Mexico and done work down there through our church. I spent an entire month down in Dominican Republic a couple of years ago and did some work with the churches down there, so I've been doing that. Our church, we have a radio station, WIOP, which we have Prophecy on the Spotlight on the station there. Yeah. And that's also available on an app and on the internet too. But anyway, we're good, fundamental, independent Baptist church there.
King James.
King
Bible.
James only, yes, absolutely. And yeah. I teach on that as well. I'm very strongly King James, so.
Yeah. And how old are you, Brother Bill?
I'm going to be 60 in July.
Yeah.
So.
So you're a young man.
Yeah, well.
Because I'm 60. I just turned 66. Today, at the day of this recording.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Which is March 5th. We're recording this. It'll air a few weeks down the road here. But 66, so I got out of bed a little slower this morning than I did last year.
But, you mean yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Yeah, last year. So anyway, how long you been at the church in Shepherdsville?
I came to the church in 2015, so it's been just over, I guess.
11 years.
Yeah, about 11 years, almost
okay.
11 years.
I thought you'd been there longer than that.
Nope, I was not one of the founding members, but I've been there for a good portion of
their history.
They just
haven't found a way to get you to leave, or what is it?
I suppose so. they, I guess they can accept a New Yorker from...
yeah, with a guy that's from Belgium?
The family originally, it originates in Belgium back in, we trace our family heritage back to one person in the 1600s in Belgium, and he came from the town of Luxembourg, the country of Luxembourg, moved up to Bastogne in Belgium, and that's where the family
Now, was that
comes
Napoleon?
From.
Was that one guy that you came
nope.
out of?
Actually, it was Henry Hansey.
Okay. And you have a French way of saying Delperdange.
Yes, it's Delperdange is the correct pronunciation.
Delperdange. Hey, I think I could get that. I probably didn't butcher it as bad as I did in English.
It kind of rolls off the tongue.
But yeah, in spite of your tough name there, it is every time I look at it, what in the world is that? But Doc has four syllables, Hilda Biddle. You've only got three, so I joke about it. That's why Doc's so smart. He had to learn how to spell his name and say his name when he was a little kid.
Amen.
And we some people call on the phone. They still can't get it. Is Dr. Hilda, Hillbill? Just call him Doc. I say, it's Doc. So, all right, well, we got a book here.
Yes.
And it's 36 pages.
Yep, just short.
Mm-hmm. And in this book, and I read the whole thing the last couple of days, very easy to read. There's pictures. I like that. There's a picture of John Leland in the book right there. But we're going to have a picture here in a minute. But you have a few slides that you're going to show that are from in the book. So why don't you give us a little summary of the book by going through the slideshows. Right now she has a picture of the book up. And folks, you can go. I'm sure he has a website. Do you have a website?
I have my YouTube channel, but no actual website.
All right. So he does have a YouTube. Tell them about the YouTube channel first.
I have a YouTube channel. It's Brother Bill Delperdange is the official name of it.
So all they need is your name, Bill Delperdange.
Yes.
And you're search in YouTube and you'll pop up.
There's another way they can search for me as well. It's Preserving Our Baptist History. If they look that up, it'll bring it to my page as well.
So how often are you doing a YouTube video?
I try to get a few of them out a week. Recently, because of working on the online launch for the Institute, I haven't been able to do that, but I at least do a live stream once a week.
Okay, so there's at least one and then sometimes more than one that you do. And right now you're doing Daniel, I think you told me.
I'm doing Daniel in our live stream, studying through Daniel.
So you're very interested in prophecy.
Very much
like
so.
We are here.
Yes.
And when I talked to you on the phone about this book, I said, I'll find a way to get prophecy in here. Well, I didn't have to find a way. When I started reading it, stuff just started popping out at me. And we won't probably share too much of that in this show. We're going to do a second show. And we're going to show some history and some Bible history that's going to apply to this prophetically. And I do want to read a verse before you give your slideshow here. Romans chapter 10 in verse 14. We're talking about three men that changed the world. So let's read something here. Mm-hmm. How then shall they call? This is Romans 10 verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
God raises up men.
Amen.
Every movement starts with a man.
Yes.
And then becomes a movement. And later on, a monument. But I mean, they die. But these three men changed the world. And we're gonna let you explain that. And you say in the book often, if it wasn't for this guy, we wouldn't have had this guy.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for this guy, we wouldn't have John Leland. But we'll let you explain all that. And then I've got all kinds of stuff that I highlighted in here that I want to talk to you about. Let me read this. Everyone in those days, in the 1700s, whether you were Methodist, Presbyterian, I don't think the Church of God existed yet, but
no.
Catholicism.
Yes.
Well, of course, they use a different Bible, but all of them owe a debt to these three men.
Yes.
All of them, whether they were Baptist or something else, these three men affected their future life that was going to come. And it's also interesting that all these men in the 1700s, regardless whether they were Methodist, Congregationalist, like Whitfield, they all had the same Bible.
Yes.
There was none of this, well, which version are you using? There was no version.
No.
You were King James.
Yep.
If you were speaking English or you didn't have a Bible, that was it. Everybody was using the King James. I get a kick out of people today. I'm getting into that Geneva Bible. I think I'm going to get a Geneva Bible.
Yeah.
Well, you ought to read the history of that.
Yeah.
And you ought to read why King James and them decided to print a new Bible because the Geneva Bible didn't hold up.
No.
And neither did the Bishop's Bible that the Church of England was using.
That one was a mess.
So, I mean, they had the Word of God. You could get saved out of it. You could learn out of it. But it just had issues.
Yes.
The book that we have now, there are no issues. This is the perfect preserved
word of God. Yes.
Of God. So you've got a few slides. Let's start with the book title again, and let me turn this over to you.
Okay.
And this book, they can get on the website, on my website.
Yes, through your website.
Because we want to help you. We're gonna actually take orders for you. We're going to get the money to you after we get... No, we're not going to keep any...
Oh, absolutely.
We're not keeping any of it. We're going to send you every penny for these books is going to go to your ministry because we believe in this. We believe in what you're doing. We want to help you. And but I know that your book is on Amazon, and if you're an Amazon person, you can get his book. That you can look him up there.
All of my books are there.
But well, I know except one. I know that a lot of our people, a lot of them are not internet people, and sometimes a lot of them will call the 800 number and order the book over the phone. So we want to be able to sell your book for you, and we'll send you the address, and you'll ship them.
Absolutely.
And we'll get you the money. So go ahead with that little slideshow that you have, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, this, of course, is the cover of the book. It's a stylized picture that's on the front there, but that's actually a church. It's Sandy Creek Baptist Church, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But three men that changed the world, Baptists and American Liberty. People don't realize how much the world owes to, in particular, these three men, but the Baptists in general. But we'll talk about that. If we bring up the next slide, I believe it's the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights would not have existed if it were not for these three men. The three men are Schubel Stearns, Samuel Harris, and John Leland, and we'll see them in a moment. And basically, if you don't have Schubel Stearns, you don't have Samuel Harris. If you don't have Samuel Harris, you don't have John Leland. If you don't have John Leland, you don't have the Bill of Rights. You don't have freedom of religion in America or in the world as we know it. And so it's really important.
Now, I know you're going to get to this, but if it wasn't for Leland pushing for freedom of religion.
Yes.
And keeping it out of the state, out of the government.
Yes.
Separation of church and state. We would be under Congregational church or something like that. We'd be under like England is.
The plan was to have four official religions, Christian religions, denominations in this country that were tax supported and everything. So you could choose which one your taxes went to support, but you had to support one of them. That was what the plan was. The Baptists were the ones who blocked at it and said, no, we don't want this.
Yeah.
But
okay.
But anyway.
And by the way, the Bill of Rights is more than just religion.
Oh, no.
There's other stuff in
there. Lots of stuff in there. And it was John Leland that pushed for the entire Bill of Rights, not just the First Amendment,
right,
although that was the chief one.
So we owe a tremendous debt, not only to him, but the men who,
yes,
who brought him into existence.
Yes, and we'll see that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, if we can go to the next slide. That this is an artist's rendering of Schubel Stearns. This is he was preaching there. He got saved under the preaching of George Whitefield back in the 1700s. He was up in Connecticut at the time, and he became a Congregationalist preacher. He was what they called them the New Lights, where the old lights, they were the ones who believed in, you know, well, you just, you know, kept the law, and that's how you got saved. Well, the New Lights believed in biblical salvation, but they were still Congregationalists. They still baptized their babies and everything, but Stearns began studying the Bible for himself and started questioning some things, and he met a guy by the name of Waite Palmer, who he convinced him of the Baptist position, baptized him as a Baptist preacher, and then Stearns said, you know, well, they need preachers down in the South because there's nobody working down in the South. And so he up and moved with his family down to ultimately to North Carolina, to the location of Sandy Creek, where they established a Baptist church at some crossroads there, which if we can go to the next, this isn't the original building, but this is, I believe, their second building. That early 1800s is what this dates to. The church was actually started, I believe, in 1752. They can look at the book. That'll have the correct date on it. But they established a church down here. This was called Grandmother and Great-Grandmother of All the Churches of the South, because instead of the modern idea of church is you build the church up as big as you can get it, and you know, you just make it into a mega church. their attitude back then was very different. What they said is that we need to, when we get too big, we break off a group to start another church in this region, in this region, in this region. And and they spread all across the South. It's the reason that we have a Bible Belt in the South is because of this one church, Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And they were called the Separate Baptists. The New Lights became also known as Separatists, and then the Baptists that came from them, they were called the Separate Baptists. They believed more or less what the Independent Baptists do today. And, well, through that ministry, a couple of young men went up preaching into Virginia, the Murphy Boys, and a man came to hear them who was Samuel Harris. Samuel Harris, he was a colonel in the militia at that time, in the colonial militia, and he heard them preach and came under conviction and got saved that day. And then he, in turn, preached throughout. He became an evangelist and preached throughout the colony of Virginia.
Now, stop right there real quick.
Yes.
And maybe she'll need to switch the camera, but I want people to realize the date here. This is before the Revolution.
Oh, yes.
This is 1750s or something like that, 60s?
I think 1760s is when
so
this is,
this
like
is
early
before,
1760s.
This is before even the Declaration of Independence of 1776.
Right.
And people, a lot of people don't realize, they think that's it, we're a nation and everything. That was just the beginning. They hadn't gone to war yet in
exactly.
1776. And it was in the 80s, 1780s, when they finally finished the war.
Yes.
And then 1812, it started again, and Great Britain once more tried to get us back. But
yes.
So there's a process there, but I want people to realize what you're talking about is before the Revolution. So
this
when
is
you
colonial
say that
period.
Harris is in the militia,
yes,
this is the colonist. He's
yes.
he's one of the 13 he's a colonist, and you had militias that helped. If there was a war or something happened, so I want people to realize that this is before. Declaration is even signed, the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
So, okay, go ahead.
They hadn't even thought of that yet.
Okay.
But so Harris, he's in Virginia. He gets saved under the preaching there, and he had actually gone there because he had heard that there was an unauthorized meeting going on because it was an Anglican colony. It was Church of England. And you were required to attend Church of England services, Anglican services, and pay taxes to support that church and everything. So the Baptist, our belief system was illegal in there. And so he's going to check this out. He wasn't necessarily looking to arrest anyone, just to find out what was going on. Well, he comes under conviction, gets saved. And then in 10 years, the colony, which was predominantly Anglican, he flips it on its head. It becomes basically a Baptist colony in 10 years. And through his ministry and the change that happened in Virginia, that affected the Constitution of the United States when we did become a nation, and it affected an individual by the name of John Leland. John Leland.
Now let's stop right there, real
yes.
quick. Bring me there. We go. So Harris gets saved.
Yes,
I think it's interesting. I want people to understand what you said about church attendance, paying taxes.
Oh yes.
This is foreign to us in America. We don't realize that pre-revolution, we had a state church. It was Great Britain, out of Great Britain.
Yes.
That came with the people who came to start this country. That church came with it.
That's
and it's
correct.
Basically the Anglicans, Church of England, mm-hmm. Episcopal, that kind of, hierarchy kind of stuff. And it was against the law to stay home.
It was.
On what they called the Sabbath, which was Sunday.
Right.
It's not really the Sabbath, but you could be put in the stocks.
You
could be whipped. You could be, and you had to pay a tax to these churches.
Yes.
And it was, you had to be in it. I mean, if you weren't in the church, you're a scoundrel.
Yeah. In fact, the Baptists were severely persecuted. There were many, and I mentioned the number. It's 40-some-odd Baptist preachers were imprisoned for preaching our principles in Virginia in the colonial period, because the Anglicans opposed them and said, you're not submitting to our authority. And they, people like James Ireland and Lewis Craig and even Samuel Harris was persecuted. We said he was dragged about by his hair, and they took the butt of a whip and they stuck it in his mouth while he was trying to preach and things like that, just because it was illegal to believe what we believed and do what we did. And so all of that is
now,
part of that history.
God's hand is in the middle of all this.
Oh, absolutely.
You're really going to see it when we get to John Leland.
Yes.
We're really going to see this. Some of the folks may have heard bits and pieces of this, but I doubt most of our audience knows even the story of the importance of John Leland.
Yes. Most people don't know.
And so without Schubel Stearns, there's no Samuel Harris.
Right.
Samuel Harris, which you're getting ready to get into next, is going to have an influence directly or indirectly to a Mr. John Leland. All right,
yes.
So go ahead and start from there.
Well, John Leland, through the ministry of Samuel Harris, Virginia becomes Baptist, and ultimately it leads to the salvation of a man by the name of John Leland, which that's his picture there, or an artist's rendering. I believe this was in the book by J.T. Christian on Baptist history. Mm-hmm. But John Leland, he was the leading Baptist preacher in the colonial, in the colony of Virginia, that had now just become a state. They were in the process of ratifying the Constitution at this point. So this is the 1780s now. So it's a number of years later.
So the Constitutions are, the Declaration's already been signed.
It's been signed. We fought the Revolution. The Revolution has been won. We are now writing the Constitution.
Okay.
The Constitution has been put out there for the several states to ratify. I believe it required the 11 states to ratify it for it to become official. But one of the key states they wanted to ratify was Virginia, because all the framers of the Constitution came from Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, Madison, Jefferson, all them, they all came from Virginia. So the problem was Virginia, because of the Baptists, would not support the Constitution. And they said, because there is no guarantee of individual rights in the Constitution. And there was not, at least in the way it was originally written. And so Madison was worried about his home state not ratifying the Constitution. He came down and met with John Leland and said, why is it you won't support this? And he said, oh, it's very simple. And he had a list of grievances, or not grievances, but concerns over the Constitution. And they were distilled down to a list of what he referred to. This is Leland called it a Bill of Rights. And so he said, unless there is a Bill of Rights, we will not support the Constitution. Madison said, when I go back to Congress, I will push for a Bill of Rights. I believe initially he pushed for about 15 amendments to the Constitution. It was narrowed down. I think 12 went for ratification, and then 10 of them were finally ratified. That's how we got the Bill of Rights. It was from this. But Leland said the first and foremost of these has to be freedom of religion, that we have to have freedom of religion in this country. As a result of Harris's ministry, Virginia already had freedom of religion in their, they had what's
the
called
state the, thing, yeah.
Right. At the state level, they had the Virginia Institute, or the Statute for Religious Liberty, that was written by Thomas Jefferson. And that was because of the Baptists in Virginia. And now Leland is asking for a First Amendment that is based on that document, which is what we have today in the First Amendment. And so if you don't have Schubel Stearns, then you don't have Samuel Harris. If you don't have Samuel Harris, you don't have John Leland. If you don't have John Leland, you don't have the Bill of Rights. You don't have America as we know it. You don't have freedom of religion in the entire world as we've seen it for the past many, many years.
How long would we have gone without this? What would have happened, you think?
If America did not have freedom of religion, we might still exist as a country, but it would not be anything like what we know today. There would be,
because there'd be no freedom to go out and pass out tracts.
No.
Have your own church on the corner. You had to be part of the state thing.
Absolutely. And ultimately, it's even wider than that, because the entire Bill of Rights was the result of that conversation between Madison and Leland, you would have there wouldn't be anything as such as illegal search and seizure. You wouldn't have the Fifth Amendment. All those things, they all date back to that one conversation, and so.
And the right to bear arms is one.
Second Amendment. Yeah. That was kind of accepted among the people at that time, but it wasn't written down. And so that could have, there would be no argument over whether or not you had the right to bear arms. It would have been whatever the whim of the government was.
Are there more slides, or was that the last slide? There are no more. I want you to talk a little bit about a fellow that everybody knows. I've lost his name. The guy, the lawyer.
Ah, Patrick Henry.
I love that guy.
Yes, and he's fascinating himself.
Because he's in this time period.
He's in this time period, and he's got ties with all these folks. He's actually after the time of Shubal Stearns, but he's in the time of Samuel Harris when the great persecution in Virginia was going on. He was the one who went into court and defended these Baptist preachers. There was a John Weatherford, for instance. He defended him in court. He was the one who finally got him released from prison. And in that time, what happened, if you were in prison, you had to pay for the privilege of being in prison and all that. So there were fines that he had to pay in order to be released. Once the court said, oh, you can be released, that wasn't enough. You had to pay these fines. Well, somebody anonymously paid his Weatherford's fines from prison. He didn't find out until much later in life that it was Patrick Henry that paid his fines. And Henry did that for many of the Baptists. He defended Lewis Craig and his friends in court, and many others. James Ireland was imprisoned for Baptist principles as well. But Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. We were discussing this whole question of religion in America when America was forming. There was a great push to have four official religions, basically Christian denominations that were official in our country. And Patrick Henry was the one who was saying, we need to have these four. And it was the Congregationalists and I think the Methodist was one of them. And then the Baptist was one. And I forget what the fourth one is, but these four would be official religions. Your tax money would go to support them. You'd be required to be part of one of those churches. And the Baptists were the ones who balked at it and said, no, we don't want that. We believe in liberty of conscience. That dates back to the Rhode Island colony, and we don't have time to get into all the details on that, but Rhode Island was the first colony to actually have, they called it the lively experiment, that they had freedom of religion there. That's why the first Jewish synagogue was in Rhode Island, and I believe it was in Providence, Rhode Island. And it was because of the freedom that it was the Baptist principles saying, we want freedom. Okay. All the other groups, they believed in state church. Now today, we all believe in freedom of religion, and it's a good thing, and they take advantage of it, and it's wonderful. But it was the Baptists who pioneered that idea.
Well, Brother Bill, the clock is ticking down. We sure appreciate you coming in. We're gonna do a second show, and we're gonna show the hand of God in all this.
Amen.
And I'm gonna show you this movement right in the Book of Revelation.
Amen.
I'm gonna show the audience that next week. All right. So thanks for listening in, and we'll be back next week. Keep your eyes on them skies.